Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Look at your neighbor and tell them that they look fantastic today. As you can tell, we're taking a little bit of a break from Ephesians 4. We're going to start that next week, but we're taking a little break right now. And as you can tell, Pastor Tyson is not preaching today. So husbands, I'm going to give you the permission. Look at your wives and let them know, I told you so. We should have stayed home today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing. I'm happy that you guys are here. I know that the Panthers are playing. I know that it's, daylight savings time. So I'm glad that you guys are here. But I'm the youth pastor here at Vision. And I'm just so excited about what God is doing through our ministry, our 2020 youth ministry. See, what some of you guys don't know is that when we started, Tyson will tell you this, when we started, we had zero students. Zero. After starting probably about a year ago now, we see like 30, 40 kids come every single month to our youth ministry. Amen. Amen. Since starting about a year ago, we've seen 14 students give their lives to Christ. Amen, church. That's what it's all about. But one of the words that I feel that God is speaking into our ministry this season is rhythm. As Christians, I feel that healthy rhythms are so important to our walk with Christ, right? Healthy habits are just so important. You're either walking to the rhythms of this world or you're walking to the rhythms of Jesus. You can't serve both. Rhythm is not only used for sound, but also movement. Rhythm is defined as a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. I'll say that again for the note takers. Rhythm is a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. And I know that that's true because I Googled it. But generations also have rhythms. Decades are marked by rhythms or different dances, different sounds. In the 60s, they had one of the greatest bands of all time, the Beatles.
Tell you something. I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
In the 70s, we were blessed by the voice of Al Green. You know it, sing it.
I'm so in love with you.
I guess you know that, huh?
Whatever you want to do. It's all right with me.
In the 80s, we had none other than the king of pop himself, Michael Jackson. Who remembers this song? In the 90s, we had the best boy band of all time, NSYNC. And in the 2000s, we had 50 Cent. I'm just kidding, y'all. We're not about to play 50 Cent in church. Y'all are crazy. How many of you guys have ever heard a 50 Cent song in your life? Awesome. Great. I knew there were some people in this room that needed Jesus. That's great. But all different rhythms, all different sounds. Well, in the 16th century BC, the Israelites also had kind of their own rhythm. They were rock stars. See, before this, God had rescued them from slavery, parted an ocean from them. They had leaders that spoke directly to Christ. I mean, it was hype. But for the last 40 years, it's anything but that. They're just kind of roaming through the wilderness. They wake up, they eat this stuff called manna. They probably play with sticks. I don't know what you do when you're roaming around the wilderness. And then they go to sleep, and they do it over and over again for 40 years. It's kind of dull. Until one day, God gives them a new leader, and his name is Joshua. And God promises Joshua a land, a promised land known as Canaan. Awesome. Great. Let's go get it. Well, one problem. Canaan already belonged to the Canaanites, right? And the Canaanites lived in this city called Jericho. And it had these humongous walls around them that were seemingly impenetrable. And the Bible says the people of Jericho were afraid. They knew what God had done for them in Egypt, and they were afraid that he was going to give them their city. Please open up your Bibles to Joshua 6:1. Joshua 6:1. And we're pretty much going to be in Joshua for the remainder of this message, so you can park here for a little while. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in." No one was allowed to go out or in. See, I feel like we all have these Jericho moments or Jericho things in our lives. Things that are really hard to overcome. See, can I be real with you guys? Can I be real? My Jericho in my life before I rededicated my life to Jesus was myself. I worshiped myself. All I cared about was myself, not other people, not my walk with God, none of that. I worshiped myself. And can I just be honest with you guys about something? Do I have your permission today? I just feel like a lot of the times the perception is that people that are on stage or people that are leading worship or emceeing, that for some reason we were just like born saved. Absolutely not. We all need the same Jesus in here this morning. Amen? And for me, my Jericho was myself. Your youth pastor was a juvenile delinquent before I rededicated my life to Jesus. I was arrested not once, but twice, and I sold drugs. That's what I did. All I cared about was myself. And I'm not saying this to brag about anything that I can do up here today, guys, but the thing is, before I rededicated my life to Jesus, I couldn't speak in front of people. Are you kidding me? No, absolutely not. But after Jesus, guys, the impossible became possible. If you hear nothing about what I'm going to say today, if you tune me out for the rest of this message, know this, that when you truly believe in the will of God over your life, the impossible becomes possible. Amen, church? So the Israelites are camped outside of the city, and they don't know how God's going to do it. These walls are huge, but they're there. They're waiting for a message from God, but not Joshua. He doesn't wait. He doesn't just sit there. He anticipates. He knows that those walls are going to come down. I feel like a lot of times when we enter a new season and we're unsure of what God's plan is, we just kind of sit there and we do nothing. But not Joshua. He doesn't wait. He anticipates. One definition of the word anticipate is to act as a forerunner or precursor of. To act as a forerunner or precursor of. I Googled that one too. So Joshua, he gets ready. He knows those walls are going to come down, so he wants to know what's on the other side. So he's ready for when it happens. And Joshua sends spies into the city of Jericho. And these spies get trapped. They hide out in this attic. And the attic belongs to this woman named Rahab. And Rahab is a prostitute in the city of Jericho. And these officials come to Rahab's door. They're like, "Rahab, we know that there's these guys inside of your house. They're dangerous. They're trying to take our city. Point us to them." But see, Rahab anticipates as well. She's like, "No, I know God is going to give them the city. But you know what? They're not here. Yeah, you must have just missed them. I bet you if you run fast enough, you might be able to catch up to them. But they're not here." And the spies are so grateful. They're like, "Thank you." And Rahab says, listen, she anticipates. She says, "Listen, when your God gives you this city, when it happens, spare me and my family." And they're like, absolutely. And one thing I want you to remember about Rahab is that her house was built into the side of the wall of Jericho. Remember that. I'm going to bring that up later. Just store it in the back of your mind. Her house was built into the side of the wall. So it made for an easy escape for the spies. And they spared her. So the first step in establishing a healthy Christian rhythm in your life is to not wait, anticipate. Look at your neighbor and say, don't wait, anticipate. We must ready ourselves for the calling. Do me a quick favor here. Everyone, could you just check your pulse really quickly? Just go like this. Look at your neighbor. Make sure that they're breathing this morning. And look at them and tell them, if there's a pulse, there's a purpose. And look at your other neighbor with some attitude and say, if there's a pulse, there's a purpose. See, some of you guys are saying, well, MJ, I don't really know what it is. I don't know what my purpose is. And that might be true, but for a lot of us, I feel like we do know what it is, but we feel like it's just too big. Like, God's not really going to use me for that. There's no way. It's too big. Like Joshua, we might have a calling that is too big, and it seems impossible. But because it is so big, God might be just telling us right now to get ready for it. Anticipate. Do some research. Some of us are called to go to different countries and be missionaries. Maybe help women who are being sex trafficked. And your experiences give you the unique ability to relate to a woman that is going through that. But we haven't even researched one organization. We haven't even picked up the phone and made one phone call. Nothing. Some of us know that we're called to be on stage and sing, maybe MC or even preach. But because the timing isn't right now, we don't do anything. Oh, I'm called to sing. I can't waste my talent on the welcome team. I can't do that. Mm-mm. No, I'm a preacher. I can't lead a small group right now. I'm called to preach on stage. That's how ridiculous we sound. Thanks, Tyson. That's how ridiculous we sound. But don't wait. Anticipate. Look at your neighbor and say, don't wait. Anticipate. Get ready now. So God gives Joshua orders, right? Open up your Bible to Joshua 6:3 if you're not already there. Joshua 6:3. The Bible says this: you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing on the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of Jericho will collapse and the people can just charge straight into the town. Awesome, right? Let's do it. I don't know about y'all, but I think Joshua is different. If I would have heard that plan, this is what I would have said. That is the worst plan I've ever heard in my entire life. Walk around the city, and then the walls are going to come down. It's not going to happen. There's no way. Here's what I would have said. You know when you, like, disagree with someone, so you put it to them, like, really lightly, and you don't want to offend them? I would have said this. I would have said, God, thank you for sharing that with the team. I just love what you said. Thank you. That's a great plan and all, but here's what we're going to do. How many times do we do this in our life, right? God, I know you have a plan for my life, but here's how I think we should go about it. I would have been like, God, thank you, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to need like 15 machine guns. I'm going to need like a whole box of grenades, maybe like 10 copies of the new Call of Duty to train my soldiers up. Maybe you can bring me like a bazooka or something, or maybe like a wrecker, anything. Maybe you can bring some of that hot fire from heaven, some of those flames down from heaven. That's how we're going to take this city. That's how we're going to do it. But honestly, I feel like a lot of us would react the same way. Like, God, that's absolutely insane. We're not going to go with that plan. But see, God isn't impressed with our knowledge. God isn't here to see how you're going to rationalize something. He's not interested in our reasoning. He's interested in our obedience. Yes. Yes. I'll say that again for the people in the back. God isn't interested in our reasoning or our knowledge. He's an all-knowing God. He doesn't care what we know. He's interested in our obedience. Amen, church? And being obedient in our walk starts with pressing in. Look at your neighbor and say, press in. That's step 2 in our healthy rhythms. Number 2 is to press in. And we can press in 3 ways. The first way is like Joshua. Well, we need to speak to God, and we can do that through prayer. But I feel like a lot of us, we reserve prayer for, like, an emergency situation. Like, if all else fails, then I will pray. That's how we treat it, and I do this too. Actually, a couple weeks ago, I was backpacking in Virginia, and I took my brother's dog, Angie. And Angie, she is this 12-pound Chihuahua thing. Honestly, but I love her to death. But it doesn't matter, because inside, she believes that she's a pit bull. So we're backpacking here in this place called Grayson Highlands in Virginia, and I heard about there being, like, wild ponies and wild horses and all this cool stuff. So I was excited about it, and sure enough, we saw all those things. But I also heard about there being bear at Grayson Highlands. But of course, I'm not going to see a bear. That happens in movies. Like, that's not going to happen to me. So me and Angie are just cuddled up in the tent. It's so cute. I'm watching a little video on my phone, and I hear this sound. I'm like, Yo, I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. I've never seen a wild animal in the wild ever in my entire life. I have no idea what this thing is, but I'm scared. And it gets closer, and sure enough, Angie, the pit bull, she's growling. And this animal just gets curious. It's like, what's in this tent? It starts clawing at my tent, starts biting at my tent. And sure enough, through the moonlight, I see the silhouette of a bear outside of my tent, y'all. I am freaking out. But right now, my prayer life is on fleek. I'm like speaking in tongues. I'm like, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I'm like, I'm singing, like, take the wheel. I'm doing everything. I am just praying so hard right now. But I feel like that's what our prayer life looks like sometimes, right? It sounds like this. I know, God, that my marriage is failing right now, but I think maybe if I just work a little bit longer and I'm not home as much, it'll just kind of sort itself out. And then if that doesn't work, then I'll take this to the feet of Jesus. Then I'll pray with my wife. It sounds like this. God, I know that I look for affirmation in men, but I'm just going to try this one last guy. And if he can't fill that void for me, if he can't give me what I need, then I'll take this issue to you through prayer. But that's not what God wants. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Prayer needs to be a constant in our life, right? It needs to be a rhythm, right? It needs to be something that we do every day. Turn with me really quickly to Philippians 2:10. Philippians 2:10. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What that verse is saying is that there is power in the name of Jesus. That at the sound of the name of Jesus, two infinite galaxies stop what they're doing and acknowledge that his name is being spoken. The Bible says when Jesus teaches us how to pray, he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven. What does he say next? Hallowed be thy name, right? Hallowed meaning to sanctify, to declare holy, to set apart. He says, don't start with a laundry list of things that you need, but start with acknowledging that there is power in the name of Jesus, the name above all other names, the only name that defeated the grave. There is power in his name. So anything that you're going to say, anything that you're going to talk about, anything that you're going through right now, your circumstances have no power when compared to the power that is in the name of Jesus. Amen, church. The second way that we press in is by pressing in to the body. And you're looking at it. Look around you. This is the body of Christ. Join a small group. Build relationships that are going to hold you accountable in this faith. Join one of our teams. Pour into the lives of others. But press in. Press into the body. The third way and the final way that we press in is by diving into the Word of God. Y'all, this faith is not easy. It's a battle, but we can place our confidence in the Bible because it's 100% factual, right, church? The Bible says that the Word of God is a sword, and you wouldn't go into battle without a sword. You wouldn't go into battle without a weapon, so why are you starting your week without reading this book? Why are you starting your day without reading this book, picking it up? Don't wait. Press in. Look at your neighbor, say, don't wait. Press in. Please turn your Bibles to Joshua 6:16. Joshua 6:16. So the Israelites do exactly what God told them, right? They wake up every morning, they march around the building, they blow on the horn, they come together as a team, and they do it again. The first day, nothing happens. The second day, nothing happens. But they keep doing it. They establish a rhythm. And they do this 7 times. And on the 7th day, the Bible says that this happened. The 7th time around, as a priest sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. I'm going to skip down to verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Amen. Isn't that an incredible story? And it's just a really good story about how we should live our lives, just completely trusting in God at all times. It's an incredible story. What's really cool is, as I was reading and researching for this sermon, I found that in the 1950s, they actually uncovered the city of Jericho. And most of it was charred, most of it was demolished and broken down, except for one wall. Y'all, and that one wall had houses built into the side of it. Y'all remember what I said about Rahab? Rahab's house was intact. Yo, this Bible right here is 100% factual. It is not just words on a paper. It's not some cheap self-help book. It's none of those things. It is the very word of God. It'll bring light into dark places. It'll breathe life into your circumstances. Pick it up every day. This is your sword. Amen, church. The third step in a healthy Christian rhythm is to follow through. And if you're taking notes, I want you to underline this, circle it, put a star next to it, whatever you got to do. Make it stand out. Because what's the point? What's the point if you're not going to follow through? Why join a small group if you're just going to leave after a month? Why join one of the teams if you're just going to get busy in a little while and fall off? Why? We must follow through. This walk is going to be tough. You're going to be persecuted. You're not enough for this world. But when the world gets noisy, press in. Anticipate that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. After that, follow through. And the final step in a healthy Christian rhythm is to repeat. Now I think we have a little bit of a beat here. Now I think we have a rhythm. Let's check it out. Don't wait. Press in. Follow through. Repeat. All right, everyone, just say it with me. Say it with me. Ready? I'll keep the beat. Don't wait. Press in. Follow through. Repeat. I think you guys can get a little bit louder. The 9:30 was pretty loud. Come on, let's try that again. Don't wait, press in, follow through, repeat. Again, don't wait, press in, follow through, repeat. One more time. Don't wait, press in, follow through, repeat. Nice. I don't care what anybody says. Vision Church got some rhythm. Y'all sound like that new Kanye album up in here. But that's the rhythm. But see, y'all, the devil doesn't want you to hear this rhythm. He wants you to march to the rhythms of this world. Y'all want to hear something crazy? This generation is destined to get divorced at over a 50% clip. More than ever before, you will live in poverty due to debt, deal with depression and anxiety at the highest rates ever known to man, and yet we still believe that the world wants what's best for us. What if 2019 was a year of revival, where students would bring Bibles to school again and would come to church on Sundays and take ownership of their faith, and we could change the narrative? Instead of when people look back at our generation, instead of reading about mass shootings and suicide, they would read that Jesus was and is alive. Instead of a perverted sexuality and confused identities, we were a generation that loved God monumentally. Instead of a generation that pursued sex and drugs casually, we pursued Jesus with intensity. Come on, somebody, look at your neighbor and let them know you control the rhythm. You control the rhythm. We do. I feel like a lot of Christians out here right now are like, well, MJ, I feel like I'm doing all this. I don't know if I really need to listen to this. And I hope you are. I do. But Tyson taught me not too long ago that there are five pillars of a church. He said there are worship, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, and discipleship. I'll say it again. Worship, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, and discipleship. So worship, let's take a look at that. Let's do a little rhythm check. Let's do a little health check. Worship, are we waiting till Sunday to give the Lord praise? Are we praising him every single day, Monday through Friday, when we have a bad day at work? In the mundane, are you worshiping him then? Are you waiting till Sunday to bring him praise? Prayer, is it a constant in our life or just an emergency button? Fellowship, look around you. Do you only see these people on Sundays and that's it? Do you have friends that will hold you accountable, or do you have different friends on Friday and Saturday night that hold you to a different standard? Evangelism and discipleship. Are you following through with what you know? Are you sharing the gospel with others, or is the only time that you speak the name of Jesus in this room? Are you taking next steps in your faith and becoming a disciple, training other disciples? Or are we living our entire Christian life as baby Christians? I say this not to condemn anyone. That is not my intention at all. But I just really think that it's important for Christians to take a look in the mirror sometimes and see where we're putting our priorities. Don't wait. Press in, follow through, and repeat. So I told you guys I had some trouble with the law when I was really young. So the second time that I got arrested, I was facing some pretty heavy charges, steep fines, and jail time. And I'm in this courtroom, and I'm trembling with fear. I am afraid. I don't have a lawyer. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just afraid. And I look up at the judge, and I see him flipping through his paperwork, and I'm like, wow, that's probably like one piece of paper for every year he's going to give me. I was terrified. And all of a sudden, this judge starts chuckling. He starts laughing. I'm like, that's weird. It's really weird. And I don't know if you guys ever seen those videos of those like real Pentecostal churches. There's like people doing backflips, running like 40-yard dashes. And in the corner, if you look sometimes, there's some people that are just like laughing hysterically. And you're like, those people must be real crazy. But I think they're onto something. I think they are. So this judge starts laughing. And soon he starts like, it's like a belly laugh. It's like infectious. He's like, he's out of control. And everyone in the courtroom, all the judges, all the officers, all the clerks, every single person in there is laughing. And y'all, I am so confused. I'm like, does someone want to let me in on this joke? Like, and so I don't know what to do. So I start laughing. I'm like, like that Kawhi Leonard laugh. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. So this goes on for about 5 or 6 minutes. And I'm just like, what the heck? Like, what is going on? So the judge, he looks at me and he says, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't even want to know what he was going to say before that. But he's like, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm just going to give you a $500 fine. We're going to wipe this off your record. You're free to go. Awesome, right? Well, there's only one problem. See, at the time, I was a broke college student. I didn't have $500 to pay for this fine. So I lean into the judge and I'm like, can I be put on like a payment plan or something? Like, I don't have any money. He's like, really? He's like, don't you see what I just did for you? And I was like, yeah, but see, the thing is, my bank account only has like 3 digits and they all zeros. I ain't got no money. I can't pay for this. And he's like, well, how much money do you have in your pocket right now? And I pull out my wallet. I see I have about $47 in my pocket. About $47. And he's like, well, pay that. Go downstairs and pay that, and you're completely free to go. We're going to take care of all of this for you. And I believe that that day that the Holy Spirit had other plans for me, that God was present there, and I was free to go. But senior year of college, I rededicated my life to Christ. And God asked me to do something crazy. I was done living for myself. I was done marching to the rhythms of this world. So God asked me to do something really crazy. He's like, MJ, I want you to move to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I want you to work with youth. I was like, what? I don't really know that many people in Charlotte. I know no one that lives in the city of Charlotte. I don't have a job there. I don't have a house, nothing. And in Boston, I had a great job. I was making really good money. So it was hard for me to be like, God, is this what you want for me? But I was done living for myself, so I did it. I crammed everything that I could into my 2002 Toyota Camry. Everything. Everything that I could. It wasn't that much stuff, but it was everything that I needed. And I drove from Boston down to Charlotte. And God took care of everything, y'all. He took care of everything. I got a job. I had housing. I had everything. He took care of it all. But about, I don't know, maybe about 30 days in, I grew a little bit frustrated. I was like, God, you gave me all these things, but I'm not working with youth. There's no kids. I've been researching. I've been reading books. I've been doing everything, but there are no youth. How are you gonna start this? And at the time, my friend Paul, one of my best friends, and Paul's an interesting character. Paul has really long blonde hair. He wears flip-flops every day. Whatever you think in your head Paul looks like, it's probably what he looks like. And Paul lived in Virginia at the time. And Paul loved to longboard. So he came down every single week when I moved to Charlotte. And he was teaching me how to longboard. And y'all, I was the worst longboarder of all time. I was terrible. But after about the 5th or 6th week, I started to get the hang of it. The 7th week, Paul comes down and I see him. He beats me home from work. And he's longboarding with some kids in the neighborhood. So I go and get my longboard, and I start longboarding with them. And then a light bulb goes off in my head. I'm like, oh, my word, this is my tool. This is how God is going to use me to reach youth. So shortly after that, I led a middle school boys' small group. We were a little Bible study, and all those boys longboarded. And that turned into a ministry I started called Longboard Outreach. And we did some really cool things in Longboard Outreach. I remember one time, I'll tell you the story really quickly. We took our longboards and we longboarded to every park in Uptown Charlotte. And we had these hygiene kits and we gave them to the homeless and we prayed with them and loved on them and just talked to them. These were middle school boys that were on fire for Jesus. It was incredible. Well, a few years after that, Tyson and some people from Vision approached me and they said, MJ, would you help us start a youth ministry here? And those Longboard Outreach boys were the first kids that we had in our youth ministry. And we started with zero kids, but now we see into the 40s and we've seen 14 students give their lives to Christ Church. Don't wait. Don't wait. Anticipate that God will do what he says he's going to do. Press in, follow through, and repeat. But that courtroom story, when that judge said it was good enough, when he said just pay what you have, it kind of reminds me of what Jesus did for us. See, we chose the wrong path. We chose sin. We chose that route, and forever our legacies were tainted. There's nothing that we can do to reconcile that on our own, right? So God knew this. And so he sent his one and only son to die for us on the cross and serve in our place. And as they were killing Jesus, they stripped every piece of flesh from his body that resembled a human. And then they hung him on a dirty, rugged cross. And then they stuck him in a tomb. But 3 days later, y'all, come on, somebody. 3 days later, something happened. 3 days later. And you know what I think? You know what I think you would have heard if you were in that tomb? And you didn't wait. You anticipated that that body was going to come back to life. And you pressed in to the body of Christ. You know what I think you would have heard? The very heartbeat of Jesus Christ, church. Don't wait, press in, follow through, and repeat. And I feel like some of us today are kind of just caught in this holding pattern right now. I feel like a lot of us, we come to church, we don't wait, we kind of press in, we join a small group for a little while, maybe we come here for a little bit, we go visit another church, and we never follow through with it, right? We're just kind of stuck in that holding pattern. We don't wait, we sort of press in, but then we go back to step one. I believe if that's you today, I believe that you need prayer. I don't want you to wait. I want you to come up to this altar right here during the next song and have people pray over your life. For some of us today, we know who Jesus is, but we haven't really accepted him as the Lord of our lives. And I want to ask everyone to stand up and join shoulder to shoulder. You don't have to hold anyone's hand. Just join shoulder to shoulder. Embrace someone next to you. And I want you guys to repeat this prayer after me for the benefit of those who are praying it for the first time. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Today, Lord, I repent of my sin. Forgive me. And in exchange, I will spend my life following you. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't want to embarrass you, but if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I just want to ask that you slip up your hand. If you were dedicating your life to Christ today, just slip up your hand. Awesome. Awesome. Guys, this is the start of somebody's rhythm. This is a breakthrough for them. That person that you're embracing right now, they're going through something right now. You're supporting them. Don't stop here. Let's keep this rhythm going. Let's follow through. Let's win this entire city for Jesus. Amen, church. I just want to remind you that if you do need prayer, don't wait. Be obedient. Come up here to this altar, and our prayer team will pray over you. But let's continue in our worship this morning.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.